I have a friend, my buddy Joe. I met him because his dad had just died, and I ended up making jokes about how, I bet your dad's like crushing puss and that, like, you know, just, I was just like going, so we were just talking about what a perv he was. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. I wish your dad was still alive. I was like, fuck your dad, dude. Like, I just started like making fun of his dead dad, and we are friends forever because of that.
Wow, well, this is awesome because we have a very special guest today.
Wow, this is quite the voice you're using.
Yeah, I don't know.
Special.
You're saucy.
It's breathy. You're very saucy. Yeah, I like it. I are you selling me Yoplait yogurt right now? luscious, delicious.
You use, okay, use your voice, JJ.
Just, here she is. The saucy. The heart throbby. It's Carmella.
Hi, everybody. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. I would talk to you.
We're always here, even if you're not here. So.
I know.
It's great that you came.
We've just been waiting.
We never get out of here.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for inviting me to the dungeon. Appreciate it.
And we also have we haven't had Brian to in studio, so he's you don't see him, but you hear him all the time.
He's invisible. Oh, okay,
it's like the voice of not
not
reason.
God.
I was gonna say reason, but not really. Not a voice of, it's just a voice.
Yeah, God doesn't have low self esteem. Yeah. So,
and also we have Tony.
Ooh, hey Tony.
We also
in
hear him
booth.
Too.
Yeah. Nice.
Right? No? We don't hear you now today? Okay.
He said no for anyone listening.
We heard him say no.
I'm just saying, I would, like, a lot of times you go on a podcast and you're like, okay, this is a business, but I would have a conversation with either one of you for an hour without cameras or microphones. That's what I mean.
Yeah,
it's,
no,
it's
kind.
Genuinely good to be here.
Good. We appreciate that.
Sometimes it works.
I know you're like actually be here because this is not moving the needle on anybody's career. Like, not for you, not for us. We're doing it because we actually want
to
do it.
Love to have a chat. And, why not? It's fun.
Yeah, and we're thankful that you didn't show up thinking it was only a conversation. And then you turn cameras on and we're like, here we go.
You're like, man, you guys hang out weird.
We're contractually obliged to only have cameras and microphones. Mm-hmm.
But speaking of your career, you just have your special that's going to come out.
It is.
Of Entre Nos, which I also was part of it too. So it's kind of cool that you're now you're part of it as well.
I'm glad that you were part of it too.
Yeah, HBO Max.
HBO Max.
Awesome.
Entre Nos. It's me and Alfred Robles.
Nice.
Both of us are
both good people.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it was nice to do it with somebody that was funny. And that I also liked. You know,
good.
I mean, we've all done showcases and shows and stuff like that where you're like, you must have good representation.
Right.
Oh, we know that. But like, because that was just two of you, right? Doing it like that time. It was just like
just
a show
for
the two of you.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And that was taped in New York, right?
Yeah, the Chelsea Music Hall. It was super cool. It was like in a basement, like with all this exposed, like, you know, brick and like, you could see all the plumbing and stuff. Like, so it had like a nice, fun, seedy vibe, which
nice.
I like. So.
Yes, that's cool.
And we did it in front of like, I think 120 people, so it has like a really nice club vibe, which
nice.
I like too.
Yeah, that intimate feeling, but there's people. Yeah. Nice.
So it was nice, and they gave out free booze, which I thought was incredibly smart of them.
That's great for a TV tape.
Yeah, I think they should do more for that. I don't like when they don't do that too.
It's
like,
all stuffy. Yeah, that wasn't
because
it wasn't
also
paid
they're there for a long
either.
Time.
It was genuine.
Oh, it wasn't
people.
A paid audience.
No, it was
nice.
Genuine people that wanted to come watch stand up.
That's even better.
So it was. Yeah, it was. We were set up for success in a really beautiful way.
Really lucky, because I would say probably half the TV I've done has been fully lit, where the audience even feels awkward.
And they're there for like hours.
They're exhausted. This is the 14th comedy special they watched. Yeah.
And TV people running around going, "I don't know why you're not as funny as you were at the clubs."
Yeah,
we got it fully lit. We got it bright and awkward.
Yeah, because this is fake.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's not want to be there.
I did a TV show in front of my family.
Oof.
Once, and it was a two-night taping. Mm-hmm. It was in Halifax, Nova Scotia, at a place called the Fisherman's Wharf.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a historic area, mm-hmm. but they had all these like styrofoam statues around of like a fisherman and a lobster and a whale and stuff, and just kind of clogging up the environment.
Okay.
And suffice to say, every comedian on the bill of this TV taping in this brightly lit kind of restaurant function hall, we all died on our asses.
Of
just
course.
Died.
Yeah.
In front of my family and everything. Mm. And then we all the comedians complained about all the things. Get rid of the styrofoam statues. Turn the lights down a little bit.
Stop making it look like I'm doing my special at a Red Lobster, please.
We all came back the next night and we all had an amazing gig. And my family was back for that one as well. We all had an amazing gig. And my dad afterwards comes up to me and goes, "That was better material that you did tonight."
Same exact material, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Same exact set. No,
nothing changed from last night, Dad.
I was like, that was the same stuff. He goes, no, you definitely did different stuff. I was like, no, Dad, that was the exact same set.
Different vibe, Dad. Same words.
Different vibe. I think he still doesn't believe me.
Hilarious. So,
I did not have my family come to this one. I don't know why. I guess I didn't think about it enough until Heinz. Like, it was just like, just the whole thing was like, it was literally an uncut gems movie leading up until
uncut
the actual
gems.
Yeah, it was like
you have
nothing
to say
but
it
a
so
week.
We become viral. Yeah. Can you say it, uncut gems?
Uncut gems.
Yeah, but you have to say it like that girl. What was her name?
Julia Fox.
Uncut gems.
I'm not
like
aware
that.
Of
you're not of the. Oh, wow. JJ.
Me and JJ,
like,
we're out.
You're not aware of it. She became
I'm
huge.
Not saying that you. I'm out of the loop. You're in it. I'm just saying.
Oh, I'm in the loop, baby.
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
No. This, the girl who was in it, she became viral on TikTok because she was doing a podcast.
Oh, right.
And she was saying, like, so. I'm like, but she was talking about Kanye, right? She was dating Kanye.
Saying that she was Josh Safdie's muse.
Yeah. Uncut John. And she went like, John. And that became the
viral. Just the way she said it, people really grabbed it.
Wow.
It became viral.
Yeah. Man.
That's why I thought you said it. But
man,
you actually
no
were
quality
talking
control
about
in this world at all. Anghajan.
So do you find it easier to not perform in front of your family then? Like, if you are you relieved?
I'm indifferent. At this point, I'm indifferent. Okay. I've done it too long.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's when I was younger, in comedy, it mattered. You know,
of course,
I don't think my dad saw me do stand up for like the first 5 years.
Right.
Because
yeah.
It was like, yeah, I don't want to hear that.
It's
I don't want to hear the response.
Yeah,
from that
grow, isn't it? It's easier to grow without your family and friends staring at you.
And so, then speaking of your family, where is your family from, or where are you? Where are they located? Or like, where did you grow up?
This is really interesting because she texted me this earlier because I was as we were doing our research and stuff, because none of the biographies on you list it very much. And
I'm from originally,
and I mentioned that because it's more that you're an American, you travel and work all around America and
internationally and, too, JJ. It's not just you that leaves this country.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know that you're an American. I mean, I was able to narrow down to you're an American. We met in Florida.
Yes.
So it was very funny. I texted her and I go, "Where do I say you're from? Like, is it Florida?" And she gave me this long text back going, "Everybody tends to think I'm from wherever."
No, I answered
from.
First and then I explained because I was like, "It's funny that you were like, I don't know where," and it doesn't. You're elusive about where you're from. Yeah. I'm originally from Florida, and then I just kind of moved. I moved around a lot. So then. I was kind of living on the road for like 6 years. I didn't live anywhere. I would just like, it was gig to gig, that old school kind of road life. And, so every time I go places, people assume I'm from there. Cause I would spend like a month in Minneapolis, a month in Chicago, a month, you know, I would spend a significant amount of time in all of these comedy scenes. So people all around the country think I'm from there. Like I lived in Chicago for a couple of years. People always think I'm from Chicago. People thought I was from Minneapolis. A dude just tweeted. He was like, "Hell yeah, Bay Area is going to be on HBO. And I was like, "I'm not from the Bay Area at all. And he was like, I saw you do like a show. Like a local show here." I was like, I just know everybody everywhere.
I saw you perform here, therefore you're from here.
Yeah. Only comedy is local. That's how it works.
And so what part of in Florida are you from?
Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So you grew up there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
You
went
to school there?
Yep. The whole nine. I stayed there. Yep.
If you grow up there, does Disney World
World,
does
we get the world.
Excite you? Or
no.
No? Do you hate, like, what about, like, all of that novelty stuff you have there? Like, I don't know. Was your neighborhood even, a facade?
No, or? I mean, like, the thing about growing up in a town that doesn't have anything except a obnoxious bout of tourism is, like, it's just like, oh, what? Yeah, that's the and right. That's fine. But what happened is, and after I left, I kept going back in it, like, Orlando kept getting kind of cooler, and I was like, ugh. What are you doing? You're supposed to stay shitty, so it validates me rebelling against this place.
Got it.
But the cool thing though about being from there is a lot of people I knew there got sucked in by Disney and all of all of those theme parks.
There?
Yeah. So I would only go if I was going for free. That was
of
the
course.
Only.
You're a local, I don't.
Yeah, I'm
I
not
don't,
gonna.
I don't
I'm
blame
not
you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. When people are like, do you want to go to Disney? I'm like, are you? I'm not paying. To go to Disney.
Guest list, please.
You treated it like we would treat a local gig
yeah,
here.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually a comedian. I shouldn't have to pay.
Yeah, I'm not paying for this.
I'll just stand at the back, thanks.
Yeah, so I had that vibe. I had that vibe before I was even a comedian. I was like, I'm not paying.
Yeah,
I should just get in because I'm fun.
Yeah.
Turns out that will actually get you into a lot of things for free if you're fun.
Yeah.
Right. So. What's the best thing you got to scam into when you were a kid in Orlando, growing up in Orlando?
Oh, I mean, as a kid, not really. I used to go to the fringe festivals and stuff like that, and that was always super fun. Like I said, there wasn't anything that cool until later, way later on. Because then, it started getting a little bit more culture, a lot of people in their 30s, parents died and they got money. And so they opened a business and then, oh, shit, we got a fun brunch place now. OK,
so that's the plan. You just you hear that, everybody at home waiting on older parents.
I mean, that's a millennial's retirement plan for the most part, I'd imagine, is if those boomer folks die and leave you anything.
Truth, eh?
It's true.
Yeah.
And that's
how else are you gonna be a homeowner? You're gonna buy one? Come on.
Yeah,
what are we, millionaires?
Yeah.
Come on, get out of here.
We're comedians, for fuck's sake. Enough to try to pay rent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It turns out you can't use drink tickets to buy a home.
That's a comedian's retirement.
We don't stop, dude.
You got Don Rickles it, dude. You got to do it until
they're like,
second show's been canceled. Don died in the green room. He didn't really, but that's just, but yeah, it was, there's no money.
There's no money in what?
In this business.
Okay, wow. That took a turn. We were like talking about the most happiest place in the world, and then you're like, but there's no money.
It's not
comedy.
Really. Yeah. I mean, what's the most happiest place? You think Disney's the happiest place in the world?
Well, that's their brand. That's their slogan, right?
Yeah.
Obviously it's not, but it's their slogan.
Lie.
Yeah, it's a lie. You've been
lie.
There?
Because I remember the, like, people that work there would validate this, and I'm not going to incriminate anyone, but, somebody would die on Disney property and then they would move the body and then claim them dead so that they wouldn't be like, they could say nobody's ever died on Disney property.
No way.
Well,
swear.
Isn't that the whole thing right now with the law thing that, like, they have the governor is doing where they want to take that away where, like Disney has their own, like,
they have
their own cops. Like,
their own, like, city.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's like they could do that. So that kind of makes sense of, like, somebody dies.
It's their jurisdiction.
It's their jurisdiction. So, like, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, like,
shit is crazy.
So, like, who's dying? Like, actual people, or, like, just like a guy in a Mickey Mouse costume? They're like, fucking get rid of
him. I mean,
them.
I'm certain both over time.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to jump off of one of the hotels to, like, kill themselves.
Wow.
And then they,
Peter
like,
Pan?
Picked him up. Yeah. Not enough. Not enough Tinkerbell dust, buddy.
Nah. Hey, that dust is just cocaine dust, buddy. Yeah. No, that wasn't Tinkerbell. That was.
You didn't wish hard enough.
Yeah.
That's what it was. You didn't have enough happy thoughts. Which, cocaine.
Yeah. When you're jumping off a building, you're not having happy thoughts.
Yeah.
I think you're having the opposite. Which is why you can't fly. If you have happy thoughts, you
that's
would
what
fly.
I'm saying. Yeah. He had it all backwards.
Yeah.
He would have flown if he would have had happy thoughts.
Wow. So, they didn't know that. That's interesting. That's cool. Well, I mean, that kind of makes sense because that's a way to keep the facade.
Yeah.
You know, like,
absolutely.
You know, because you can hide everything under the.
You can live in. Celebration has an actual. Is it a town or village or what? There's people that live there 365 days a year, isn't there? There's people who choose to live there.
Well, Celebration is like kind of like the little suburb of Disney. Like there's the parks, but like there's people that can like there's condos and stuff like that where people can live and like see the park from their homes.
I met one of those people once. Now that you know what I mean. Yeah, he was insufferable. he was.
Why?
He was terrible.
I mean, anybody who believes in a lie that much.
And dreamed Disney.
Oh, got it.
Dude, it's just like a super hyper Christian. Like anybody that believes in something that much is just too much.
Yeah, like cultish. When it becomes cultish, when it's like you're like always there, like, all right, you're not living in the real world. Or like where you actually go and talk to the guy in the Mickey or the Pluto guy and like or the person and they're like you know like you see those people and you're like what are you go do something you know what I mean like like you hear all the time
but
like,
that's their something
but that's their something
it's creepy.
Imagine how miserable you'd be if you were a kid, you grew up at Celebration, you had like Mickey and Goofy and Donald like, in your life all the time, and then you move to just to Ohio
you got a job in Ohio and you're like, but where's all the cartoon characters?
Why don't I get
this
isn't fun.
Why isn't my life a theme park? What's happening?
Wow. That's so you, but you like, so you grew up there, and then when was your first move to get out of there, Orlando to do comedy or to do or just
it
to
was
move?
Comedy.
It was comedy.
Yeah. Okay. I was 22, I think.
Did you go to college?
I did go to college. And I quit college because comedy won.
Oh, wow.
So that's one of those.
Nice.
I think I had like two semesters.
What were you studying?
Art. So it wasn't even, it didn't matter. Right. I was a photographer before I was a comedian.
Okay. So that's just a parallel move then.
Yeah. Well,
studying art, you might
I don't know.
Well,
I know a lot of photographers that make
road.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
But I just mean you were studying art, you know, and then to just go, I think I'll just.
Well, I was already a professional photographer, so I was just going to validate what I was doing.
Right.
So it was like, I was going to school for art with a specialization in photography to be like, see, I care. I paid for it. You know, it's not like, I have a camera. I just use it to take pictures of hot chicks.
It
wasn't like a that thing. But I was like, I was going to school full time. I had a full time job. I had a part time job. And then I finally did stand up for the first time, and everything ended up, I quit everything.
Oh, really?
So this wasn't even a stand up break. It was just you realizing that's going to be my priority.
It was forever. I was just like, I don't know what's going to happen, but this is it. I found it.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So did you know about it, or you just did it like one show and then you're like,
whoa. No, when I was younger, I just didn't know it was an option. Like, I was a fan of stand-up since I was a kid, you know?
Yeah.
I loved it since I was like one of those, I wasn't as Disney bad about it, but I used to, when I was like in high school, I used to not go out Friday nights because Friday night stand-up was on. Like, I was I was that kid. I liked it a lot. And
what channel? What is it? Like, I don't
Comedy Central, Friday night stand-up. Play all the Comedy Central Presents, they would play it back to back all Friday night movies. So I would just watch stand-up all night on Friday. Wow.
It's like Premium Blend.
Premium Blend used to, because that was my Amazing Jonathan Premium Blend, still one of my favorites, the Jim Brewer one. Loved all that.
What was your excuse? Did you just tell your friends, no, I'm staying in for stand-up? Or was it always like, I'm just exhausted?
I'd just tell them I was busy. I don't know. It wasn't a thing. Yeah. I don't know, because I didn't care. I liked it. Fuck off. You know?
Nice. Yeah.
I've always been very much of that. I care. If we're fucking, I care about what you think. But that's about the end of it. And it's the extent.
Wait. Okay. What?
I had the same thing growing up, though. But
hold on. We got to digest. Rewind. So... You don't care about anything else that people think unless you're fucking with them?
Not fucking with them.
Like if we're together. Yeah, like you're having sex.
Then I care, probably care too much too.
But you care in the moment or like after?
Period. If she's sleeping with you, she gives a shit about your opinion.
Well, I was talking about, I thought you meant like the actual moment of doing it.
Oh, like, well, yeah. Like, I mean, I care about what you think about me when we are actually fucking
due. Yeah, even more.
I mean, if you don't care about the person you're fucking.
No, but at that point,
that's
it's
a very male female difference, right?
No, I do care.
I care.
No, I do care. But I want you to want to be fucking me.
Like,
what I was trying to say, like, while it's what the moment is happening, it's kind of like you get lost in the moment, so you're not thinking anymore, and it's more about the moment.
Sure.
That's my interpretation.
If it's good, yeah.
Sure, if it's good.
Yeah, if it sucks, yeah.
It'd be terrible if you were dating somebody who only gave a shit about your opinion when you were fucking them.
And like, they were just treating you like shit.
I really want
like,
her to go to that movie with me. I better wait for my moment.
Yeah, and then I better get a chub. I really want to go get her to see this.
You're fucking her. Will you go see that new Nicolas Cage movie?
Anything you want. Anything you want.
So then that's the only time you care about people.
No. I care about people. I don't care about how people think, what people think about me.
Unless you're fucking them.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. That's why I've always just kind of done whatever I wanted. I don't know. It's just like I've always been like a rebellious person. So it was like, fuck off.
That's good.
I don't care.
Yeah, where did that come from? That from like your parents?
Probably my aunt.
Oh, your aunt.
My aunt, yeah.
She's like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's definitely like that.
Nice. Yeah, that's good. That's a good attitude to have. I mean, it's like.
But I took it to a whole nother level. Like I was like, I guess I got $200 in my name. I really want to do stand up. I guess I'll go live out of a Saturn. I'll go make this work. Right? Oh. I don't care. So even though everybody is like, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah,
is that the move that you make after you dump everything, you drop out of school and stuff and decide you're going to go for it? Did you move straight into your car and just hit the road?
It took about a year and a half to 2 years.
So you were still in Orlando,
yeah,
facing up to the same people in your life and just telling them, no, I've dropped all that stuff. I'm going to be a stand up now.
Well, everything, I started failing at everything else because I was like, oh, I would have class at 8 o'clock in the morning, but I would be out till 2 o'clock in the morning having the time of my life with comedians, post shows, you know, after mics and stuff like that, riffing, learning the brilliance and the unbridled joy that is riffing with other people. Mm-hmm. Like, I finally found my place, as lame as that sounds.
No, it's not. That's what
cheesy.
I did too.
And it was just like, I always felt like I didn't fit in everywhere. I was the only chick that played golf, so I always played with a bunch of dudes. Like, there was several different parts of my life where I was very much a lone wolf, and not in the sense that I was going to kill anybody, but just in the sense that I was by myself.
Yeah.
So it was like I finally found my kind of people that was just like, oh, you guys all say fucked up things too, and you don't mean anything by it.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that's the same thing that happened to me when I first. When I first moved to, you know, LA, and then I started like doing open mics and stuff like that, I was like, oh, okay, the same thing. I was like, you can actually make fun and people are not going to take it personally. And it's all about joking and making fun and, you know, like you think, because, we think a certain way. We have like a way that we look at life.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're like the people who are like I said, like, I mean, I've been like in funerals and joking about it, you know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
That's what we do because that's, so you need, to, so when I finally was like, oh, finally, there's people like that think like me. And even more people, I was like, well, that's a little too much. Yeah. I don't do that crazy shit. And then you realize, oh, okay. And then there's like, okay, there's people that actually know what they're doing. All the other ones that are just like, oh, they're just kind of nuts, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's cool to be in that, like you said, you find like your place in the world, you know what I mean?
I think what it was is it was like a freedom of thought is what I loved, because it was there is a certain way of thinking that comedians have that no other kind of people is, which is why there's that old like Seinfeld and Chris Rock thing where they talked about being at a party and they see a comedian.
Yeah.
I can talk to you. Like, I know
of
I am.
Of course. I see somebody and I'm like, oh, I can make fun. I can.
Yeah.
Because it happens with me with like friends and or girlfriends that I had or even with my current. Like, I have to always like measure of what I'm going to say, or if I say something, I was like, I was just joking. It was just a joke. You know, with comedians, I don't have to say that shit. I can like, we just, it's just like, you know, like, monkeys fighting with a knife and they're like, let's see who's gonna win.
It's also being
healing as well. That's the thing about me is doing.
Yeah, actually,
that's when we met, when we were each going through something.
My sister had just died and your friend had just died.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure we were joking about it back.
We absolutely were.
In between some tears and stuff. In between tears and the real.
I think at one point I was like, fucking bitch. And obviously, I'm not genuinely trying to disgrace my sister in any way, shape, or form. It was just like the funniest thing I could think of at the time.
If somebody had walked in on the two of us
laughing, crying through
this healing this healing process, they would have thought, what the fuck is wrong with it? They're both psychos. No, we're trying to help each other.
Yeah.
We did. And I think because we met like that, you'll always be cool to me.
Oh, that's
you know,
really
and not
sweet.
In like
I feel
a
that way about
yeah,
you as well.
It's just like
yeah, that was, yeah.
It's a that was like one of those serendipitous moments where it was like, "Oh, okay." And yeah. I think maybe that's why I was there. Not like to be too the universe works in mysterious. Not to be like that about it but
yeah,
it happened. That happened incredibly randomly, and
We both met each other probably on a night. I mean, there was we were surrounded by the usual comedians as well, were a lot. They didn't have the same morning that we were going through.
Yeah, so, they weren't freshly wounded.
When was
wounded.
This, by the way?
This would have been
a month ago.
Three.
Oh, it just happened.
It was before I left. Before I left.
So it was like years.
I think maybe two months.
It was in February.
Month and a half. Yeah, February. Yeah,
it was in. So it was.
And it was super fresh for both of us.
Oh,
God. So it was like.
Got
and I also had just been. I had only been around family and stuff, so I hadn't been around comedians. Mm. So I wasn't able to be myself about.
Of course,
it,
yeah, know? Like joke about.
Yeah, so there was no because it would have all been rude or in poor taste
course,
and all of that
of
stuff.
Course,
so
yeah.
it was our mutual friend Forrest. It was like, hey, I'm here, and I was like, I'm a mess. Can I be around not my family?
Yeah.
And he
was
like, and then he probably told you, well, Jay's friend just died, so he's fucked up too. Yeah, you guys
he
have fun with
give
each
me
other.
The heads up. I wish he would have. He did not give me the heads up until it was like I was there. He's like, oh, by the way.
Oh, by the way, you're
not the only one.
The
and I was like, oh, okay. Because that's what it was. Is I was like, I don't know how fun I'm gonna be. He's like, just come, and it'll be a good time for you. Like he wasn't one inviting me out, and I was like, yeah. It was so good, and it was good to just be able to be myself, which is how I, you know, which is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Because that was the other thing too. Is I think I had to come to LA for something shortly after as well, and again, it was the same situation where I saw my buddy Mike, and I got in the car, and I was immediately like, it was just nothing but riffs, and it felt so good to be funny about something so fucked up, you know. And it's hard to get people to kind of understand that. I mean, some people aren't comedians think like that too. Like they want to say like, I have a friend, my buddy Joe. I met him because his dad had just died, and I ended up making jokes about how, dude, I bet your dad's like crushing puss in that. Like, you know, just I was just like going. So we were just talking about what a perv he was. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. I wish your dad was still alive. I was like, fuck your dad, dude. Like, I just started making fun of his dad, and we are friends forever because of that. And it was just like because he was one of those dudes too. That's like. Oh, he was like, nobody talks to me like this.
Yeah.
And this is so much better than how it's felt.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. No, it's good to win. Yeah, it's a thing that we think that certain way, so it's hard for other people to understand that. You know? So it's like, I completely get it when you, especially when you're going through something, it's like that our way to...
To deal with it is to just
joke about it or talk about it or even just do stand-up. It doesn't have to be about that subject, but just to do stand-up.
Yeah. Or even just be around it, because that was the whole thing is I didn't go up when we hung out. I was just there, and it was just nice to be around
comics.
It and be around comics and hearing people have fun and remembering that that's an option.
Yeah.
Like, all of those things.
Yeah. Wow. Well, sorry about that. I didn't know that, so I'm sorry about it. And,
I mean, I don't think you killed her if you did.
Well,
man, this podcast just got fucking interesting.
Finally, the reason that we brought you here, Carmen.
Oopsie.
How do I put this? So I went to Florida And I went to
Your
Orlando.
Your story's already not good because she doesn't live in Florida. So.
Fuck.
You really fucked this alibi up.
You went to Florida for the alibi.
Yeah. I was in Florida.
Yeah, okay.
I was in Disney. I was in Celebration. I bought a house.
Oh. Well, don't worry. She didn't die on Disney property.
You know what? That fucking town could use a psycho, so.
I mean, everybody's a psycho there. I mean, if you live next to fucking Disneyland, unless you got it for free, that's the only way. Like,
yeah.
Why are you buying a house there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, like, I guess they work there.
Unless you work, yeah, if you work there or you got it, yeah, I mean, but why are you even, like, you already work there and you got to live there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? You got to be a super fan.
So,
I mean,
so then you move into your set. So when did you first move, got out of Orlando to do comedy?
I started doing stand up and I moved up pretty quickly. I mean, our scene in Orlando at the time, it was little, but it still was diverse in the sense of like where everybody was at. So when I started, there was still probably like 30 people, but there was like open micers and there were people that hosted and there were people that just did guest sets and there were people that featured and there were people that headlined. So there was like all these people, there were people that worked the road. So there was all these people that were all at different levels. So I was fortunate enough to be able to see like, oh, okay, there's like a way to move up. And
got it. Like you saw that.
Yeah.
It wasn't just open mic. People don't know right. What the hell they're doing.
And yeah. It sucks because there's a lot of scenes that don't have that.
Mm.
So it's just like, oh, I just do comedy in this bar forever. And
yeah,
it's like, oh,
yeah,
no,
you know, yeah.
Please don't.
There's
you
actually ways
just
to
be
like,
as good as that bar is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everybody that was good in that town left. Everybody that was good would leave and go do the road and work everywhere. And
right. My
motive was never really to be famous. I just loved being really good. I wanted to be really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, to be really good at it, I had to be funny everywhere. So I had to get out. I had to do it everywhere. Because I was just like, I want to be funny.
You mean for different audiences?
Yeah, for every kind of place.
Perfect approach, because you don't want to be the whole, like, that store down the road.
Yeah.
Like the local reference guy.
Yeah.
Like the host.
The New York City people who only have jokes about the subway.
Yeah, rats and stuff.
And then they're like, why did I bomb in Ohio?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's no fucking
Yeah, you
got to
do other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then where did you go the first time?
The first time I ever went out, I had like $200 to my name. I drove to North Carolina to audition for a club. I had 2 weeks of shows booked. So I was
in North Carolina.
Yeah, in North Carolina, North and South Carolina. So I had like these 2 weeks booked, and I was like, oh, okay, well maybe I'll go and audition. So I left on like a Monday, so then I could go audition for, because they had a Tuesday show, and he was like, oh, I'll come to the show and watch you, and if you, because he was like a chain of clubs. It was a Comedy Zone. So there was like. Several clubs all around the Southeast. So I was like, okay, cool. Then that I could work for that. That would be like several weeks a year. That would be amazing. And I go and I do the Tuesday show. And that was my big audition. He didn't show up. The guy that was supposed to watch me didn't show up. And I was so distraught. Yeah, it was like a 9-hour drive. I was so my fucking
shitty power play. Yeah. I fucking hate when they do
that. He was probably busy. Just I forgot. I don't know. You know,
There's different levels to it. There's the ones who don't show up. But then there's the ones who show up, but they eat. Or they pretend to be busy.
Oh yeah, why even come?
Doing that when you're showcased for somebody, and you can just tell they're just trying
distract,
to
not even pay attention.
Feel like you're not important.
Yeah, I never understand the whole point of that. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Know.
Like, why make? Like, give the best person, the best version.
Your attention.
Give the best possible environment so the person can perform the best.
Sure.
You know, because then you can see the potential of it. I mean, because if you know what you're doing, you can tell somebody, well, I know they did good because the audience was really good or whatever, you know, or like everybody was, you know, like, let me see. All right, I'm going to show you on this one, you know, and then you can, but still give them like a good, like, you know, like, don't shit them on, you know, like, don't make them like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but sorry, I cut you.
No, it's okay.
I apologize.
I'm glad you got that out. It seems like
I wanted to get it out. I was waiting for it.
You're giving her the perfect environment.
I was waiting for it.
So I was working with this road dog who'd been doing it like 20 years, you know, like so fun, like just one of those dudes who could do 2 hours before Chappelle was doing 3 and 4 hour sets. Like I was just in awe at somebody could talk for that long and make people laugh.
You mean like you were working with, like when you did that show?
Yeah, when I did that show, okay. I was like, they were like, oh, just feature this one nighter and then if it goes good, I'll come and watch you and we'll see how it goes from there. So I went and did it and it was just spectacular. His name was Todd Yon. I don't even think he does comedy anymore, but it was just spectacular to see somebody do that because I'd never seen that. I'd never seen somebody just do comedy and was just riffing. I'd never really up until then, I think everything I'd ever done was very scripted. And I was just like, wow, this is fucking magic.
Yeah. And I bet you the comedy that you see in Orlando too is quite honed. You know, the people that end up on in Disneyland and stuff. It kind of can be cruise shippy. Can't it? Or is it a bit
sure? I think that's what people think, but I think there was plenty of not that. Florida definitely, but in Orlando specifically, there wasn't as much of that as you would think, except for people that were coming in from around the rest of Florida off of the cruise ships and shit like that. The weekend guys, like the people who had day jobs would still do stand up on the weekends. Like there was still plenty of that. Yes.
Right.
But I didn't have to deal with it as much, if that makes sense. Except for when I was like working for the C-level room when I first started.
Right.
When I would like host and feature for those people, there would be a lot of times there would be guys. There was plenty of guys that were great. That's how I met Forrest. But there was plenty of guys that were just like, oh, you are still doing Monica Lewinsky jokes? Like, God damn, this is post 9/11, bro. What a new bit, baby.
How did the lead-in change? Yeah. I was watching an old recording the other day of Monica Lewinsky.
I wish they was even that thoughtful, but it wasn't. I miss Bill Clinton. Here are those jokes I did when I wrote that year.
Because that's the only... Yeah, those are the ones I got the hit. Yeah. Wow.
But, So I was like complaining about it to the headliner and I was freaking out. You know, this was my big opportunity to like do this for real, you know, and I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm freaking. So he was like, look, don't worry about it. He goes, I know these guys real well. He's like, I'm going to call him, tell him what a great job he did. Everything's going to be all right. And then he did. He called the club and he was just like, I can't believe he didn't show up. And she was amazing and he should be working her. And then they gave me like 3 fallout weeks. So nice. I went out to do 2 weeks and ended up staying out like doing a month and a half or 2 months.
So you stay there?
Yeah.
So that's your first time that you moved. So you were living in your car at that point?
Well, I worked for like 2 months and then I came back to Florida. And then like over the course of like 2 years, then I would book all those weeks together and then come back for like a month. Mm-hmm. And then I would book myself for like 4 months and come back and 7 months. And then to the point where I would come back for Thanksgiving, stay till, and then I would get booked on New Year's and then I would be gone again until the next Thanksgiving and just pick up my mail.
So then, cause I mean, in terms of traveling, so then you're just staying in, when you're like doing the shows, you're staying in hotels or in your car? Like where were you?
No, this is feature pay, sweetheart. So, there is no hotels.
So it's, you were staying in the
couch
car.
Couch surfing. Yeah. Other comics' houses, friends of friends, all shit like
just
that.
Just stuff like that.
Begging to stay in the condo late, coming in early, all that stuff.
Wow. This is, that shows you that how much you love something because I mean, like that's like I guess also when I started, I didn't, you know, I never did.
Well, you also started here. That's a very big, different place to start.
Yeah. So like, yes. So I mean,
the road was like the only real option that I had.
But that's the thing. I was never like, I was like, I wanted to move to a big city where comedy was. So I didn't have to go do like the road and just get better here and then slowly do some road gigs here and there. But like, because that was my first thing. I was like, yeah, I don't want to be living in a car. And that wasn't my thing, you know. That was my, I was like, because I
well,
also,
I didn't want to live out of my car. It's just the only option.
No, I know.
For me to make a living doing stand up. There was no rent money.
Well,
I'm not saying it's making $300 a weekend, baby
I
boo.
Never I do can't. What you do.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, well, because we're talking about how we travel differently, all that stuff. Like, that wasn't, I guess also because I never started that earlier. I mean, I graduated and I worked at an investment firm. So I had like, I already had some kind of money coming. So I was like living in a different standard. I was like, yeah, I can't. I mean, when I started at the comedy store, I see some, you know, talk to people that were actually living in the car. I'd be like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm like, I'll prefer to have the day job, you know, and then just work my, you know, really just hours doing the comedy, you know. So I respect that, but that's the thing that I, and again, it has to do with also because I started a little later. So I wasn't like right away. Like, it wasn't like I was 18 or 20 when I started, you know.
Yeah.
But that wasn't,
and
I don't know.
You got yourself a little bit of a comfort zone to be able to say no to some things, right?
Yeah, I didn't have that as
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I wasn't, again, because, yeah, I came, I, you know, I also, like, I wanted to try it out. I wanted to see what it was while I was still working. Mm-hmm. And luckily, I got a job that led me do stand up, you know, that I could, that gave me the hours that I was working full time and I can still do the hours to do stand up.
Yeah, that's nice.
And kind of like help me kind of.
I really
like,
love this, you flexing your privilege.
No,
right
I'm not.
I didn't have a day job. I had a job and they just let me live my dream.
No.
While I was getting paid.
Isn't that privilege?
Oh, it definitely is.
Isn't that privilege? No, because you know why? Because I always thought I was like, I should be, Mike, always. What I was going, I was like, should I not be working full time? Should I just be like, yeah, living, you know, in a car, you know, like just not care and just kind of like do full time? Because am I losing opportunities? But then also, like, then I, you know, met somebody like Sebastian where he was like, I'll talk to him. And he was like, yeah, I mean, he was like, I was working, you know, like as a waiter at the Four Seasons, whatever he was. And he was making like $5,000 a month, you know, like he was driving a Jaguar while still doing. You know,
open,
you know, doing shit. And he's like, but because he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm not. I was like, I wasn't going to live like what I was like. I want to live.
I think I was.
So like, I saw that. I was like, yeah, that's how I think. I'm like, so I was like, yeah.
There's no right or wrong
answer. So there's
answer.
No right
it's
or wrong. It's whatever you like.
Yeah.
So that's my thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's I respect that because I would never do that. Or I would have never done that. I would be like, no, I'm not going to, you know. So it's kind of, you know, I respect that because that wasn't in the thing that I would have thought to go. But there's no right or reason. To do it, you just gotta
just
find a
approaches.
Way to do it.
Yeah, you just have to get on stage as much as possible.
Right.
Exactly.
Either if you're rich from a good day job, or, or skinned and poor from living in your car.
What are you talking about? I wasn't rich. I was.
They both were.
I majored in finance and I got a job, so that's why I got. Luckily, I got the job and it worked. You know, but I was still working.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to wake up at 5 in the morning until because I had to work East Coast hours.
Yeah. We're not competing.
I'm not.
We're not giving you a hard time for having a job, man. It's okay.
Yeah, you are.
We're not.
I mean, yeah, we are. We're busting your balls for being successful, you prick. Yeah,
I wasn't successful.
You were somewhere in between living in your car and having a Jaguar, right? Yeah.
Well, I didn't have the Jaguar.
It was just I've always done things the hard way, whether I meant to or not. It just always
worked
out.
What you said
that
before
way.
Is that you want to like prove, or you want to like, well, you're not. Well, I'm gonna do it, you know. So I think that's kind of like I don't have that, you know, that mindset of like, you know. So it's like it just also kind of makes sense with your personality, you know, or your point of view. It's like, well, I'm going to show you. Boom. I'm going to go do it. Which is great. I mean, you need to have that, especially to do comedy, because it's very tough to do stand-up anyways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's
like, so that was great. I mean, then you said you travel. So what was the city that you have finally like, okay, I'm going to live here?
Well, call yourself an Angeleno now, right? Mm-hmm. So you've now been here for how many years?
I think six years.
Is that enough to be a full Angeleno?
I don't know. I don't know what the rules are. Mind? I guess it would be up to
well,
you.
Well, I mean, well, let me tell you. No, I mean, I think from what you were saying that you've been, you've been always living in different cities and stuff like that. I think now this is kind of like the first time that you've been here, like at least localized, even though you travel all the time, you know, you're here.
I lived in Chicago for like 2 years before I moved here. And it was literally just because for 6 years I didn't have any financial responsibility except for like my phone and my car insurance. Like that was my rent. Like that's what I had to worry about, you know? So then I was like, man, I'm going to need to like reacclimate to paying to exist places if I'm going to move, because I was going to go to New York or LA either way. 50-50, I didn't give a shit either way. So I was like, oh, I'll go to Chicago because within 6 hours I can work at least 40 weeks a year. So it was just a good central place to be. So then I would I lived there for like, yeah, like 2 years, two or three years. And then I toured my way out here, and then I stayed, and then I liked it here, and I stayed here. So, but yeah, this is the first place as an adult that I had as a home. Really.
And then have you done this thing? Because you said you travel internationally too. Like, have you done the same way of, like, that you were doing it here? Like when you go international? And be
No. Okay. It was like USO tours or like Israel, just weird. Just things I would say yes to, because I was like, yeah, I'm probably never going to travel otherwise.
Right.
Like, I like to move around.
So what is one of your favorite destinations that you've been called away? Like when you do a USO tour, is it always work or do you get a couple days off somewhere?
Yeah, you get
if
places.
if it's booked cool, you usually get a day off or two. Like I did these MCCS tour, which is all Marine bases. So I did like there was one in like South Korea, and then I went to Mount Fuji, like there's Camp Fuji, which was at the base of the mountain in Japan. And then I did like 4 or 5 bases on Okinawa. So it was like, okay, yeah. And then I had one day off when I was in Japan, and I was just there like meeting the people at the base. And there was like this group of dudes, and I was like, oh, hey, I was like, are you guys off tomorrow? And they're like, yeah. I was like, you guys want to go to Tokyo with me? And they're like, fuck yeah, let's go to Tokyo. Nice. So I met these like four dudes in their 20s, and we went to Tokyo together.
But that was like they were in the army?
They were stationed there. But their day off was the same day.
Because
I was just talking about, man, I want to go check out Tokyo. Like, how else am I ever going to get to see this? So then the five of us just went to Tokyo, which
That's
was
great.
Like 4 hours away. It was like a fun adventure, you know? And those guys are cool for me forever. Those guys are rad, you know?
Yeah. Those little spontaneous groups.
Those are
that
the
happen
best
when
things
you're
for
all
tripping.
Bonding. In a...
Especially when a trip. I think those are the best memories when it's something that's spontaneous. When
Absolutely.
It wasn't planned. Where it's like, hey, you want? Let's go to this or whatever. You know, like, you know, right as part of the moment then.
I think it's also a disservice. I think a lot of times, and I don't know why, but being a woman that's traveling by myself, there's always like this, you should be scared, like essence. And I don't know if it's, you know.
Yeah, you don't have that, right?
I don't have, I have a, like my fear meter is broken.
Obviously you don't have that because I'm more scared to sleep in a car than you. And I'd be like, no, I'll be...
Would have been terrified at a lot of the
course.
Places that I stayed.
Yeah,
for sure.
The only time I slept in a car with my back in Maryland, you know, when I was like in high school, and then we got kicked out of a house, and me and my friend lied to our parents that we were staying at each other's house, and then we just basically stayed at his car, and he was like in the suburbs, and I was scared. I was like,
never again.
But if I would have had that, I don't know that I would have just asked 4 random dudes to go to Tokyo with me and then spent.
Their army, I think actually that's more secure.
There's more rape there. So that's my point.
Okay.
We had a midnight curfew because there had been a rape recently.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's cute. You guys think there's a time for it. That's adorable. You think it's like, oh, it's midnight. We got to get to rape. Like,
no,
that's not how
Cinderella,
it happens. Yeah. So adorable.
Oh, so you've had a rape recently. Who wants to come with
you? I didn't realize. Again, a lot of times I should have probably not done a lot of the things I've done, but it was. But they were all. I mean, also I was like, I could fucking take these guys. Like I was also. I was like, I'll fucking kill these dudes
don't
if they
fuck
try to.
With you.
Yeah, seriously, no, don't. unless I want you to.
And then she'll care.
And then I'll definitely
care. And then she'll care.
And then I'll care. wait, are you consenting? You please tell me you're consenting. Yeah. but yeah, like, and then it was kind of adorable because, again, we had a midnight curfew and like there was like the last train. We missed the last train to make it back in time. And then so I was just like, oh, you guys fucking go. Like, you guys have to worry. I don't have to worry about till the show the next day. And it was very Marine like of them. They were like, no, we're not. It's all of us together. We're doing this. So then we ended up having to there was like another Uncut Gems montage of us trying to get back. And we got there at like 11:58 and got through the gate. And I was like, whoo.
But you know what happened with those guys? They're court martial, because of you.
They get kicked out of the military because we had a great time.
They were late.
So you're just ruining lives.
Well, I did it. I kept telling them to go.
So I guess then Tokyo is your favorite place to go, or that you've been, or
no? I mean, that was like one of the fun moment as far as stand up goes. But one of my favorite places in the world to be is in Spain.
Nice. Where
is it? Ibiza.
All over.
Oh yeah, he doesn't know how to pronounce
Ibiza.
Yeah, he's pronouncing it. You see what the
It sounds like you're saying Bertha. Bertha. Oh, yeah.
You see,
R.
This is what I was saying. He's horrible pronunciation.
I like that it makes him angry. But that's the way British people pronounce it.
But it's not correct.
No.
It's
not. There was already a 10-minute debate on the last episode about this, if you're wondering.
Colloquialism.
No, it's wrong.
It's not a colloquialism if it's just a mispronunciation.
It is for a whole country.
Yeah. Well, they also say other words stupid too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. just like we do here. That's 100% my point.
Aluminium.
Aluminium. Imagine going.
No, I think they're right. I think we're wrong on that.
Correcting them.
Yeah. Aluminum.
Aluminum.
There's more letters than aluminum.
Yeah, you're right.
I think it's the other
way because in Spanish is aluminum. Minio.
Yeah.
So where was it in Spain that you love to go?
I mean, I've gone everywhere. I have family that lives in Madrid, so nice. I would always go there, and then we would go everywhere. We would go. I just recently went to San Sebastian because I'd never been there. Nice. I've been to Barcelona.
Have you been to Alicante?
Alicante? No, where's that?
That's it's like by then, like 2 hours from Valencia, which is also like where you go from Ibiza, you know, like there.
I've never been to I've always wanted to go to the islands, not the Canary ones. I mean, those two, but more of like Mallorca and all those. But I even went to like small towns like Salamanca and Figueres and like I went to Seville. Oh my God, Sevilla is the shit.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a great town. To have cocktails and chats. Nice. And that's my whole jam. Yeah, dude. Cocktails and chats. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah.
Love the way of life. Oh, I love everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I was
just in Italy last year, but I'm gonna go get married in Spain. So.
Oh hell yeah. Where are you going to get married?
Alicante.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I was asking if you know about it.
Destination wedding.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm gonna do this podcast.
Do you have family there?
No. Oh. No, we're no family, no nothing. You know, we're just doing it there because it's fun.
Cool. Mm-hmm. So it's a small group?
I mean, I'm inviting the people I want to invite, you know, but yeah, it's not going to be crazy wedding, you know. But.
Yeah, destination weddings are a real dick move. I don't care if you're there, but send a gift.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. No.
Are you going to invite a lot of people so that you get more gifts, but
I had a joke about that. Yeah, I mean, but no, I'm like, I don't care about the gifts. My thing is like, look, they're just like, if you want to go for you. Yeah. You know, like use it to learn about Spain or visit Spain or go to Europe. You know, use it for, you know, don't just you. My whole thing is like, don't go just for the wedding. Go to actually, you know, so you can travel.
Are you going to say that on your invites?
Yeah.
If you come, don't come for me. Come for you.
Well,
don't put any response. Because I don't want to just. A happy couple.
Yeah. I mean, because it's like, that's what it's for. It's like, yeah, you go for the party. Yeah. But also, since you're already there.
What time of the year are you going?
It's gonna be like in late August.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah,
it's still pretty hot, but
it's not crazy hot. Yeah, it's not like it's hot, but not like July hot.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The summers are brutal.
Yeah, no, I was in Italy, and that time was like you know, it depended too. I was, we're in the north, so it's a little colder, cooler, but like, yeah. But
oh, did you go to Naples? That's where my the other side of my family's
no,
from.
No, I went to, I went to Alba, Torino, and then Florence, and then Rome. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, the weather was good. You know, it wasn't like crazy hot or anything like that. So, but it's still nice.
Hell yeah. So, yeah, there's been, because I like to just look for cheap flights. I mean, by the way, I want the people listening to know I don't have a lot of money. This isn't.
Yeah, you guys all sound pretty rich right now.
I know.
Now.
But yeah, I go to Scott's
talking
cheap
about,
flights.
Talking about
my flight to Spain round trip was $500.
Oh, wow.
That's
why. Talking hell about privilege. I've been everywhere in Spain. I go to Seville.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I could have gone to another country. Like, you've been to a ton of fucking countries. I could have gone to another country, but I always go to Spain.
For it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, there are plenty of ways that you can go internationally for
it's so
less.
That's what I'm saying. People think like it's more expensive to go from here to New York than to sometimes go to like from here to like
no,
you know, Spain
it was,
or
it
whatever.
It was more expensive for me to fly to Seattle from Florida than it was for
exactly,
me to fly to Spain.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like people don't realize. And then when you get there, even the food's cheaper and better. You know,
that
where you stay.
That was like one of the things I adored is I was like, oh, wow, I don't have to read every single label.
Right?
Like there's just a quality. It was like you could be poor and still eat well.
Yes,
exactly. That's what it was.
I remember in the train
thing.
Station, they had like, in the train station, like, yeah. You know, from like Rome, from Florence,
mm-hmm.
And they had, yeah, and they
so
had like
good.
Prosciutto, like mm-hmm. all this, you know, like mm-hmm. great sandwiches for like $3, you know, like, yeah. I was like, yeah, you could do that here. It's like,
you have to be Whole Foods rich to eat well
exactly.
here. And it's obscene. It's obscene that like taking care of yourself is classist here. That's the shit that drives me fucking
the other
insane.
The crazy thing about Europe is that a lot of times flights, plane tickets can be cheaper than train tickets. You know, you can
get
really?
On things
like EasyJet mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's like these, which I guess over here what we have Spirit and Frontier.
Because
like,
the trains suck. The transportation sucks.
Yeah,
it should be much better.
At all here.
There's no trains, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in Europe, yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I got the first time I ever went to Spain. The first time I ever went to Spain, I bought a Eurorail pass for $300, and that is why I got to see six or seven different cities.
What
I
is that? So what is that Eurorail?
It was like an unlimited pass.
To
so
go
for
from,
2 weeks,
to travel,
I could just travel any
all over
any,
Europe.
All over. No, I went. I did one for Spain specifically.
For Spain, okay.
So for $300, again, I mean, this was like 2006 though, so I don't know how it is now. But it was like I could travel unlimited for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And so then I would just go to the train station and go, I don't know what the fuck that is. Let's go there.
Nice.
So I went and saw a 2,000-year-old aqueduct in Segovia or I went to Cadiz or
that's
whatever.
Great.
It was just like, that's how I got to see everything is because they would have those rad trains were a 6 hour
and they're great
drive.
Trains.
Yeah.
You know, it's
it
not
was
like,
6 hour drive turns into 2 hours.
Yeah,
I'm going.
Of
I'm
course.
Going, buddy.
Yeah.
Going.
No, it's amazing. Yeah, it's great. It's great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Curves through the hills,
mm-hmm.
the lakes.
Ah, beautiful view. Yeah.
Much better view than the motorway.
Yeah.
You want all the motorways through Europe. You're like,
motorway?
This is boring.
Yeah, the highways.
Oh, the highways. Yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? It's like, all right.
He's saying aluminium in another way.
Yeah, yeah. I was like,
aluminium.
What are you doing? Harry Potter language? Motorway.
This is why it won't work when you go to Britain and correct them for saying
I won't say that to them because I'm in England. But if they're here and they say that, I'll make fun of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go England. It's like I'm going to somebody's house and make fun of their fucking like sofa.
Yeah.
It's like I'm in their house.
Yeah. You're sleeping.
But when I leave, I'm making fun of their fucking couch.
Of course, yeah. But not right in front of them.
Respectfully, your couch is trash.
Yeah. Wow.
We'd love to ask our guest, Carmen, in all the travels that you've made.
Sure, sure.
Is there something that comes to mind that you really wish America would do? You know, it could be a tradition or a custom or just,
I think I just kind of touched on that, making good food affordable for poor people.
Okay. Affordable for poor people.
Just for anybody, not for even poor
I mean, I got to admit, here in L.A., I mean, I can find tacos and, you know, I shop at Food for Less.
Yeah, but tacos is not, like, that healthy if you eat it all
That's
the time.
My point, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
like, she's talking about healthy. Quality. synthetic
quality
ingredients.
Level meat, like yeah. meat that's not.
Yeah, the tacos that you're eating are not real meat. It's just it's rat. It's you're eating rat.
Well, but it's seasoned LA rat meat. So,
it's so good.
Yeah. It is seasoned so
well. Yeah. It tastes like meat.
It fills you up. That's why I lost so much weight.
It's the parasites.
Yeah. You're shedding rat food.
Why it's so helpful.
That's why you've been shitting pellets like
because
like, man, I was wondering why I've been taking a shit like a rabbit.
Because I feel that way about like in Britain and Europe and stuff. And when I eat like pasties and stuff like that in Britain, they're cheap. But you know,
what is it?
It comes down to it. It's shit too. Like the empanadas that you can get in Spain that are cheap and stuff. I've never found them high quality. When they're cheap, but you know, it's a survival thing. When you're backpacking through Europe or traveling on a budget, you can't find cheap food. And I found that in LA as well. I find that there's a stigma around it in LA though. People look down on you if you shop at Food for Less or some of the other places instead of going.
Yeah, I look down on them. Yeah. I look down upon you. I mean, not just on people, on you. Why are you doing
this? Why don't you go to Trader Joe's? I mean, why don't you go to
Ralph's? Trader Joe's is not that
it's not expensive.
It's not expensive and it's better quality than Food for Less.
But this is what I'm talking about. This food classist is here. Like I wish America was less like.
But I mean, but I think that's everywhere in the world. I don't know. I don't know how in Spain, but I think there's like the best, like the qualities, you know.
I mean, not really, because you would go into like a little hole in the wall bar and eat lunch, and then I would be God, are you fucking kidding me? For $14?
Yeah.
I would have to pay $73 for this.
No,
it's
true.
Is it just there?
It's true.
Sorry, this was $6 for a tiny filet of fucking what?
Yeah, no.
Do you know what this is?
Yeah,
like, bitch, this is royalty food.
Yeah, you're right. No. I guess what I was trying to say is like, at least in Europe, you still have the, you know, there. If you want to get the Whole Foods or whatever, Erewhon, you know, you go. There's places that you can do that. But if you don't have the money, you don't want to go there, you can still go to like whatever place and it's still going to be good.
That's what
I was trying to say. Here is the difference. It was like, you only got to go, if you want to get the good stuff, you got to go to those rich ass superstores, you know, not if you go like, you're not going to get the same quality. And that's
the other thing is, I think the mentality of like it's like an old mentality, but it's like we're bred to be made into workers and like the Spanish way of like disfrutar, you have to enjoy it.
My uncle is from Barcelona, and the health thing is like American culture is more like you live to work.
And the
European culture is you work to live. So it's not about, that's why they're the lunches.
That's why they have
take 3 hours.
Time.
That
way,
siestas. That's why. I mean, my buddy who lives over there in Madrid, his schedule is basically goes from like, you know, wakes, you know, starts working maybe like a 9-ish, 9 to 10, you know, goes into like 1 or 2, you know, then takes lunch and break.
Yeah,
then
from
starts
two going to,
work
two
to like
3:30,
you know, 4, and then ends at 7, you know, and then has
you
dinner at
like
9, and then you have drinks. So
we
like,
would eat dinner. Yeah, we would eat
like,
dinner at 10,
I mean, I remember
10,
working
11.
in the investment firm. Half hour just for lunch, and you're eating in your cubicle, and you're like, computer and doing this shit. So it's like there's no like
appreciation for life. You have mandatory vacation over there. You have to take vacation.
Yes,
yep.
They want you to have a good time. Mm-hmm. Like that's
especially
what I'm
in the like summer. It's closed. Yeah. A lot of shit is closed.
Have things like male maternity leave. And also they get just as much work done.
Yeah,
even with a 2 hour
because when you're happy, you're gonna work
in the middle of the day.
Also, you get a nice little reset. You can get errands done you want to get done. Like that was a whole thing too. Is like we would just be out walking around and stuff, and she's like, do you want to eat? And I was like, why do you want to eat? She's like, well, everything's going to be closed in about an hour, so we got to eat now if you want to eat, because then we can't eat till late.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, okay.
That was in Italy. Like, we had to like, hey, you better eat right now, because after 3 till 6, everything's closed and there's nothing open.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, you better eat right now. But
and I'm not saying we have to do it exactly like that, but I just think that you could get a better, you could get a quality worker that doesn't hate it, hate their job as much if you just let them enjoy their lives a little bit instead of it being
just
very
everything's
slave
about work.
Very just like,
yeah, you can get more productivity done when people are happy.
That was like the cool thing. That was like one silver lining thing that happened with the pandemic is people, they were like, because the companies for so long were like, no, you can't. You can't work from home. There's no fucking way. You'll never get anything done. Your kids are going to be, your animal, whatever. You're going to be distracted. And then the pandemic happened and people had to work from home. And look what nothing fucking.
Yeah.
And then then they were mad that they didn't want to go back to work. I'm like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
They're happier at their home, motherfucker, because if they want a goddamn snack, they can go make it. Mm-hmm. And they're still going to answer those goddamn emails that they, you know, that they shouldn't even be, whatever. They're getting bogged down with bullshit anyways.
Yeah.
It'll be very interesting to see the way Americans evolve now, because I guess some people do want to go back to a workspace.
Sure.
They want to get away from
absolutely.
You know, family life at home.
Well, some people like a separation and some people don't. And I just think it should be okay to have either one.
And it's really interesting to have the discussion of a 4-day work week, because I think people will still get just as much work.
Of course. I mean, I work in, again, going back to an investment firm, like the work that I had to do every day, I could do it like in an hour. And then I had 7 hours to pretend to work. So I was
a true American pastime is pretending to work.
Yes.
And it's like, we could save, if you want to save a lot of money, we could save a lot of money in increasing the hourly rate, make them work less hours, make them have their they have to get their shit
done. If not, you're done.
You get reviews and all of that shit. There's a way to do it. And then guess what, bitch? Go on vacation for 2 weeks.
Exactly.
That's what I think America should do.
All right.
And with that, everybody, Carmen Morales is running for president 2020. I don't know where is it again.
2020.
Mandatory vacation, bitch. Yeah. Mandatory nap time.
You got my vote.
You got my vote.
I don't even work a day anyway, so I'm a comedian, but I'll vote for you for a 4-day work week.
Well, you can't vote because you're not American.
that's true, too.
Hey, man, if you need your citizenship, I'll marry you.
There he is.
All right. There you have it. You heard it here.
No, you don't want to hear it here, because then people are going to know that it's a fake marriage.
Oh, that's a good point.
No, it was a joke. It's under parody law.
You know, okay.
But you never know. Okay. But he might get a citizen.
All right.
Well, thank you. This is
a lot less to worry.
This was fun. We'll recap. JJ's going to get married.
It's an open marriage.
I told you I was on a date where somebody thought they had a darker sense of humor than me. So this is like a callback to us comedians trying to explain to me, like, no, you're not going to offend me.
Yeah.
If you assume that you've offended me, trust me, you're not even close.
Wow.
Will you please marry me so I can stay in the country?
Well, thank you. Where they can find you, social media stuff.
Oh,
and
sure.
Also, again, so they can watch your special, if you can let them know. There's a camera, talk to them.
Oh, my God. Well, CarmenMorales.com for all of your Carmen Morales needs. Follow me on the assorted social media at The Funny Carmen on all the things. Watch Entre Nos on HBO Max on May 6th. It will be streaming as of that. You don't have to, I mean, it doesn't have to be on that day, but I would like, that's when it will be available for you to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always a good point. If you don't arrive to your television on May 6th,
you can watch it May 7th.
Yeah, 7th, 8th, you know, put it on for your
dogs. But it's good if you watch
you
it right as soon as it comes out, because it's good for the algorithm.
Yes, please.
So, yes.
Please watch it.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for coming. This was so much fun. And we'd love to have you back again.
Whenever
you're not traveling, you know. That'd be great. And
we'll always save a spot for your car.
Thank you.
/ home.
Yeah.
And remember to subscribe, you know, to our YouTube channel, to our Instagram, Standby Pod as well. iTunes, follow us there. And then just, you know, we're gonna be on the Netflix is a Joke Festival.
Ooh,
doing our first live.
Nice.
Our first live, our first live podcast.
It's
you know, which is going to be great. It's going to be here at the Comedy Store in the Bell Room May 4th, right? May 4th at 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So come, you know, get your tickets. For more information, get your tickets at thecomedystore.com.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. Thank you very much, Carmen, for
coming. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Bye, Alu.
Bye.